Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love. Welcome to the Great Big Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it is a Great Big Friday edition. Every now and then, I get the opportunity to invite some smart people into the studio and talk with them about anything I want to talk about. And generally, what we do is we look at stories of the day, trends, just the situation of the modern world, and then we apply Catholic teaching to it. We apply, I suppose the way to say it is we apply a Catholic mind to it. And today I have no shortage of big brains in the studio with me. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. My two guests are, well, what order am I supposed to go in? I guess you start with the big boss. You start with the big boss.
You start with the oldest.
Okay. Ooh, that's a dilemma.
It's a dilemma for me because I need a calendar.
How about the one who's been here the longest?
Okay, we'll start with the one who's been here
the longest.
I like
that better.
Yeah,
thank you.
His name is Tim Ryland. He's the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine.
For a very long time. And his dad even before. That's right.
You may not know this. As editor of Catholic Answers Magazine right now, you do know this because they're taking this out of your salary. The magazine is on sale right now over at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Congratulations on producing one of the finest magazines in the world.
Well, thank you. So I couldn't do it without all the
Do you know my favorite section?
No, tell me what's your favorite section.
Seriously, you don't know my favorite section?
I've never heard you talk about your favorite section.
It's the short questions in the back.
The quick questions.
Yeah. That's right at my attention span. Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Also with us, Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Hello, Chris Check.
How are you, Cy? Hi, Tim. You know, Cy, Tim does the whole magazine by himself.
I do this
radio
show.
Not supposed to tell people that.
He doesn't write all the articles, but everything else, so the management of the circulation, the layout, and the editing of the articles, it's all done by one person. Well, that's why it's such a bargain.
I've told Chris that's how it works, but in reality, I employ a whole host of little elves that come in at night.
He's got munchkins that help him out.
But I appreciate the compliment. Thank you.
I got so many stories, things that I want to talk with you about. Apparently, the world is going to be crushed by overpopulation. We're a year away from the Cardinal McCarrick story breaking. The Supreme Court gave a ruling about religious freedom and a cross. I want to talk to you about the idea of, something that's going on in Great Britain, this conversation about whether to block pornography sites from minors. Why is that even a conversation? We could talk about that a little bit, but a couple of more breaking stories I thought I'd just dump on you right here from the beginning. Are you all right with that, if I just dump a couple of stories on you?
Are they true?
On one of them, I don't know if it is true. I don't know. It's about our president. And he used a word today that and Darren reminded me that there was some point at which when he was running for president, he said, I have all the words. Is that an actual thing? I have all the words. So
He used a word today that I have not heard an American president use before, and I have
certainly not in this context.
I have to say I was delighted to hear it, but you never know what's true in the political realm. So I'm not going to testify that this is an absolutely true story, but here's apparently what happened. Oh, actually, I'm going to read the president's own words from Twitter. I don't know if you two are aware of this, but no. our president often tweets on Twitter. And so I'm going to read you.
I don't follow him. Actually,
you don't follow anybody on Twitter. Don't make it like, I don't follow Donald Trump. You don't follow anybody
on
Twitter. So I would be amazed if you could log into Twitter. I would be amazed at that. And I don't say that to denigrate you. I think that is the right relationship to have with social media, which is no relationship at all. I think that's the best one. Well, unless you got kids that live far away or something and you got to keep up with the babies or whatever's happening, you know, but...
I'll say this. I'm grateful that we have people on the staff here at Catholic Answers who keep up with the rapidly changing world of, I don't like this expression, social media, but I'll use it because I think people know what I'm talking about. And because Catholic Answers needs to be present in all of these platforms and fora that we can be in.
Oh,
there's
sure.
no question about that. And social media has been a conduit for us to a lot of souls who otherwise we may not have reached.
In fact, we are right now.
I could say, yeah, exactly.
We're streaming on Facebook and YouTube on Periscope.
Precisely. So, I escaped that. I'm 53, and I know there are people older than I am who
you have really not taken care of yourself. I'm just sorry, I couldn't help it.
It's probably unlikely that I'm ever going to get captured by that. But I'm glad that there are people here at Catholic Answers, Rochelle, Lucero, who
do a good job.
Yeah, Donna with the marketing. Yeah.
Yep. What about you? Are you too old for Twitter? Do you follow anything on Twitter, or do you know what a tweet is?
I do know what a tweet is. Yeah.
Okay.
That twiddly D thing that Jackson.
Okay. I'm going to read two tweets from Donald Trump. And he does this. I love when people do this. He does this thing where he writes a tweet and then another tweet, and it's all one thought. It just flows in. I always feel like I can't do that. But all right. On Monday, they shot down an unmanned drone flying in international waters. He's talking about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were cocked and loaded to retaliate last night on three different sites when I asked how many will die. 150 people, sir, was the answer from a general. 10 minutes before the strike, I stopped it. Not proportionate to shooting down an unmanned drone.
God bless this man.
Ever heard a leader of the free world say, we can't do that, that's not proportionate?
Well, this, in fact, is one of the informing principles of just war theory.
Right.
The response has to be proportionate.
I never know what to make of President Trump. I will admit that. And whatever his moral failings may be, I will stipulate to them. But to hear this word that comes directly from St. Augustine in the 5th century in developing Catholic teaching on the just war, it makes me so happy to hear someone say that's not proportionate to kill 150 people. And in a certain way...
By the way, he's right.
Yeah, he's right. It's not proportionate. Yeah, right. God bless him for that. Huh. It's not proportionate. And I know there will be people who say, well, he's the one that got us into this trouble with Iran and all. Fine. I'm not arguing about any of that. I was just delighted to see... I'm not arguing one way or the other, by the way.
And we're not saying that he's aware of the intellectual heritage of the word.
But I'm not sure he's not either. I don't know. I can't make the guy out at all.
Yeah.
I just think to say that it's not proportionate to kill 150 people, that doesn't mean that no military action is coming, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just allow people to shoot things out of the sky either. I do believe that. You can't just you don't want to live in a world where people just shoot stuff out of the sky.
Yeah, I mean, it does make me wonder about I wonder who is informing him or with whom he had a conversation.
Yeah, that's the underlying question,
isn't
it?
Yeah. I think back to, I think it's more than a year ago now, the speech that he made in Poland, which was really a celebration of the Christian West or Christendom. Now, I think somebody else probably penned it, right? It might have been what was his name? The guy from Breitbart. Was still
Bannon.
Oh yeah, Steve Bannon.
Maybe he's the guy that penned it. I don't know. But yeah,
but you know what? The presidents have people write for them. They still get credit. I mean, you think? I mean, Ronald Reagan was apparently a very good writer. I'm sure Bill Clinton was a good writer, and Barack Obama. But they don't write all the stuff they say, but they get credit for it.
Well, I don't think President Clinton. I mean, excuse me, President Trump writes his tweets.
Oh, you don't think he writes the tweets?
I think he does. There's enough mistakes and foolishness.
I don't think he writes the speeches, is what I'm saying. I don't think he writes.
I think he has help writing his tweets. In fact, I think I remember recently reading an article about one of his Twitter writers.
Well, I guess I'm always loath to get into political conversations because, look, you know, that is not the core of what we do. If you are a liberal or conservative, if you're whatever, as long as we're observing the natural law, we're observing the morality that God has placed on our hearts, and we're loving Christ. You're doing everything we could ever ask of you. I do just feel delighted to see the word disproportionate used, and also for the lives of other people's soldiers to be considered as actual human lives. I'm really personally impressed by that. I was shocked when I heard this being reported.
When people ask me, are you conservative? Are you liberal? I say, I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what is that? What does that have to do with politics? It's kind of the reaction. You guys sort of get a blank
right.
stare.
It's better than politics.
Yeah, well, no,
politics is not everything.
But my religion informs what I think about the conduct of public life.
Right. Right. And that's why because this word disproportionate, it means so much in regard to what it says about human dignity and human life that it's, may they all use it now. Liberals and conservatives, I mean, I hope it becomes a fad to just use the word disproportionate or proportionate, because there are proportionate responses, but the president decided that 150 dead people is not the proper response to the shooting down of a drone. I think there is probably a proper response, but I like that. I like the thinking here. Now, when people ask me if you are liberal or conservative, I have to say, I don't give the same answer you do. I say he's a really mediocre Catholic. Is that the wrong? Is that the wrong thing to say?
He's a Chestertonian Catholic.
He is a lousy Catholic. Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. And a work in progress.
I guess we all are. Oh, we'll take a break. We'll continue our discussion. You're welcome to get in on the discussion today. It is a panel show to wrap up a Friday. Oh, the first day of summer as well.
Summer solstice.
And in a way, it's the first day of modern summer. Traditionally, summer started earlier. We could talk about that when we get back. Everything in Middle Ages was better. Right back after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know, and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to the monthly or so Catholic Answers panel show, where we take a Friday and I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about with really smart people. Usually Father Hugh Barber is here. In his place today is Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers magazine.
That is a poor substitution.
I don't. That's not that poor of a substitution.
That's pretty poor.
But the thing is, it's Chris Check is our other guest today, and the problem with panel show is
I think Father Hugh could sit in for both of us.
Do you see how I start a sentence and then he just starts a different sentence?
Yes.
They both do it. That's why I'm so happy you're here, Ryland. It is terrible doing a panel show with those two, thus far it's very pleasant. But you being a newsman, I heard you have some breaking news to share with us.
I don't know if it's breaking news.
It was breaking to me. I didn't know about it.
It's breaking up news. Actually, it made me chuckle. In my news feed this morning, I saw an headline that said Madonna thinks she can convince the Pope that abortion's okay. She thinks she knows if she just can talk to him.
Get in a room with the Pope. And
that's what she said. She said, in fact, I have the news article right here, as a matter of fact, and the direct quote is, I think Pope Francis would be open to having a conversation like this. And she also said, Let's talk about Jesus' point of view for a minute. Let's talk about it. She said, don't you think Jesus would agree that a woman has the right to choose what to do with her own body?
I think Jesus would. He'd say a baby has the right to choose too.
Well, this is why she also says she's been excommunicated several times from the Catholic Church.
I don't believe she's been excommunicated.
Of course she has.
That can't be right.
Well, she was raised Catholic. I mean, she's
named Madonna.
Yeah.
Like, that's her real name.
She came from a strong Italian family, and she mentions how Catholicism has informed her work over the years and how she can't shake free of it. And to me, that's a sideways glance at grace. I think it probably is working on her, and I hope it keeps working on her. But
I do too.
I hope she's
right about the Pope, that he would be open to that conversation, because I think it could do a lot of good. Those conversations can do a lot of good, mm-hmm. as long as the person, and Pope Francis certainly is well-grounded as a pro-life person and understands right. why we're pro-life. I think she's right. I think he should be open to that conversation.
All right, well, let's start agitating for it.
She's not going to change his mind, but you got nothing on Madonna over there?
No.
Chris, check.
There is a funny phenomenon in, to go back to something that Tim was observing about Madonna being incapable or grace still trying to penetrate here. There are a number of these lady pop artists, especially, there are probably some male ones too, I don't know them, whose work in some way or another is informed by maybe the wrong word, but anyway, you get the hints of it. Lady Gaga, right? I forget her real name.
She's a Catholic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there was another one, and I
heard about her going. She goes to mass quite a bit.
She's a practicing Catholic, as far as I know.
And God bless her for it. I mean, people sometimes, and you're welcome to call if this is your view.
It's difficult to reconcile some of the church's teachings, for example, on modesty,
of course,
or even on other things as well. But I do. I mean,
but there's something there, and they can't let go.
Going near Jesus, and he'll rub off.
There's another one of Hispanic origin, or that I don't remember her name. She's a little younger than musicians that I keep track of, who gave $250,000 to Planned Parenthood of Georgia a week or so ago.
I didn't hear about this.
Is that Miley Cyrus?
No.
Or Selena Gomez?
No. But
I'm too old too.
What yeah. kind of smear is that? You're just naming various young women as if.
I'll find out at the break who she was. I looked her up, and she was raised a Catholic, but during the tyrannical reign of Pope Benedict, she left the church.
Mandy Moore?
No.
Oh my gosh, she's just going to keep saying
we're all Catholic raised girls.
It's
women.
A Spanish
just
sounding
get on
last
the microphone,
name.
Darren. Yeah, just get on the microphone and tell us. Who is it?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Thank you.
See, too young.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande.
For me to know about.
I like Ariana Vente more than Ariana Grande. Sorry. That was
lame. Is that a drink? Is that a kind of coffee drink?
Yeah, it's got to be Vente.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that. But Madonna, it strikes me that there's a certain point at which you it's not getting through. The message is not getting through. And grace is needed to get the message through. I mean, if you reach her age, which she's probably a little older than
she's 60.
I don't know. She's 60? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good for her. At 60, still going. I don't want to sound like I wish her any ill will.
Sure.
But she's reached 60 years old without the wisdom to know that you're not supposed to destroy human lives. And she really genuinely seems innocent of it. Like, I don't mean innocent. Like, she's not
ignorant.
Responsible, but she doesn't seem to get that's a human life. And the Pope is, if you get in that conversation with the Pope, you're not going to win.
Right.
Like, you're not going to, because he knows that you're not supposed to kill babies.
But this really does turn on the crux of the argument, as far as I can see it. Abortion these days is there is a willful or not ignorance.
Yes.
A real ignorance about the life of the baby, of the fetus. And so it's strictly a woman's rights issue.
Even a Supreme Court ruling earlier in the year, Justice Ginsburg said a woman who's pregnant is not a,
right.
quote,
not
mother.
A mother. Right.
I mean, really? On what planet? Yeah. Like, how disassociated from reality do you have to be to say a pregnant woman is not a mother? Like, that's just cruel.
That's what it's come to.
But right, and I don't say that again to.
When Judge Kavanaugh was being examined by that Senate panel, is that not the cross exam or whatever the word.
I'm not sure what the name for what they did to Justice Kavanaugh is.
But one of these new young Democrats put to him, well, you know, can you tell me, Judge, what other law there is that is exclusive to...
That was our own Senator, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris, right. Yeah. Exclusive to a woman's body.
Right.
I think he may have been caught off guard or said, well, listen, I'll be happy to answer a specific question about a case if you would like me to.
Right.
But the point is that this is the only range in which this discourse is supposed to take place.
Right.
What I can and can't do with my body.
Right.
And by the way, the Federal Drug Administration tells you what you can and can't do with your body. Right?
Yeah.
The people who make seatbelt laws
tell you what you can.
Yeah.
And can't. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So.
Yeah. Right. As a matter of fact,
government does this a lot.
Coercion to get you to not do things with your body is what is a primary role of government. I was just expressing my bodily tendencies when I stole that thing from Macy's.
Yeah.
Well, your body can't do that. You're not allowed to do that with your body.
Right.
And so the question comes down to what is the nature of the thing you're doing?
Yes.
And in abortion, you're not just expressing your bodily integrity. You're robbing another person of his or her bodily integrity. All right. So thanks for the breaking news.
Yeah, you bet.
Keep us posted.
Yeah, I will.
You know,
Pope to meet with Madonna.
I would be delighted if it did come out. The Pope said, hey, come on over. I remember there was a time when Madonna was blowing up. And somebody suggested she was in Rome and somebody suggested she should go over it because Pope John Paul would meet with her. And she said, if he wants to meet with me, he can come meet with me, which is what you expect a young, you know, smart aleck to say. But I'm sure she's in Rome all the time. I mean, it's not as good as when we're going to Rome in December. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about
November.
November 4th through 13th, Catholic Answers Pilgrimage to Rome, which you can find out all about by going to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, say it.
Catholic Answers Pilgrimage.
You're a good newspaper editor, man. You are a good newspaper editor.
Madonna's going to be on that tour, isn't she?
No. On what?
Madonna.
Yes. Yes. We will be visiting.
We're going to visit a number of her shrines.
The Madonna.
Good.
We got a caller, Brian in Detroit. Hello, Brian in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. I was just talking about artists that are Catholic, and a lot of people don't know that Jack White, the White Stripes.
He went to the seminary for a time, or he was going to go to the seminary, something like that, right?
Yeah, one of 10 kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know any of this stuff about Jack White.
Yeah.
He's the youngest of 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
The youngest is 10.
His mom was the secretary for the Archbishop of Detroit, and his dad did maintenance for the Archdiocese of Detroit. So he's not a practicing Catholic at all, but he's very close to his mother. So I don't think it'd be much longer until he comes around. But one of his songs, "Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground," near the end, he goes, "You know what you're doing if you're thinking of the Holy Ghost. If you're thinking of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah, so that's well said.
He's got some religion into his music, but a lot of people don't know that. And people I talked to, I said, just think, if his mother had used contraception, we would not probably have Jack White, because most people don't have 10 kids today. So it's a blessing that his mother followed the teachings of the church, and we have his music to enjoy today.
Glory
Brian,
to God.
Thanks
he
for
is
sharing that.
Probably one of the best guitar players live right now.
Can you imagine what a guitar playing priest he'd have been if he had finished at the seminary? He is a wild man.
My boys are big Jack White fans.
Yeah, no, he's quite talented. He had a Catholic off with Stephen Colbert several years ago. It's worth looking up on YouTube, where they quizzed each other with obscure questions about the Catholic faith, and it was pretty fun. I think he won, actually.
He won the Catholic off?
I believe so.
I'm glad they have that.
Yeah, it was fun.
888-318-7884 is the number. It's panel show today, so if you're like, whoa, what's going on? Well, we're talking, I guess what we're trying to do is to apply some Catholic thinking to the news of the world. That's what we do on Fridays every now and then. When we're not having a game show or a kids show, I get to sit in here with very, very smart people.
Wait,
I get to be in charge of the
conversation. I thought this was a kid's show. No. That's why I thought you
oh, really?
Had me.
That's why you brought up Madonna and abortion, because yeah, you okay. thought, oh, yeah, good, the kids are listening. I don't know what to do with you, Tim Ryland. Okay, I want to get into this, and I think we'll probably this will be a longer conversation than we're able to finish by the break, so we'll take as long as we want. But Mr. McCarrick. Mr. McCarrick.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Formerly Father McCarrick, Bishop McCarrick, Cardinal McCarrick, now Bishop McCarrick. That was a year ago. Wow. I was just looking at a kind of update story from the Catholic News Agency, and that was a year ago.
Wow.
So I just kind of wanted to – I don't want to focus too much – but you can focus on whatever you want. I mean, I'm not that interested in Bishop McCarrick and his process. He seems to have gone to confession, and he's living in a friary now.
In Kansas.
The progress that we have made is the more interesting thing that we as the church have made. How are y'all feeling about it? Like, as you look back on the year, you go, did stuff move now that we went through our second wave of unspeakably ugly controversy?
I would encourage listeners to actually go and follow see if they can unearth the Twitter feed of J.D. Flynn, who's on the show here from time to time. He runs Catholic News Service, right? That's EWTN's, right? CNS. He's the general editor for them. And he had pretty good reporting from the floor of the USCCB a week or so ago in Baltimore. And it was interesting to see the... division may be strong, but I'll use it because I don't have another word right now, between some of the bishops, some of whom were eager to implement a formal program that would be something of an amalgamation between some lay oversights, which is something that a lot of people here in the United States have been calling for, and also for Pope Francis's idea about metropolitan supervision. We'll yeah. take it up after that. I'll finish my sentence after the break.
Excellent tease, Chris. Yes. Excellent tease. Chris Check, our president, is one of our guests. Our other guest is Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. It's a panel show, and we're talking about the news from a Catholic perspective today on Catholic Answers Live, right back after this.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Coming up Monday on More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
That's Monday on More to Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. It's the Great Big Friday Show where we talk about the world, the state of the world, state of the church, and we try to do so from a Catholic perspective. You're welcome to participate. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. A couple corrections, as there will be when we do these spontaneous
CNA.
Shows. CNA. J.D. Flynn runs Catholic News
CNA,
Agency.
Right.
Right. And the other correction, I was corrected on Facebook. What Madonna actually said is, if the Pope wants to see me, he can buy a ticket. So, which is a way better quote than the one that I gave. We're talking a little bit about Cardinal McCarrick and now Mr. McCarrick and what happened a year ago and how satisfied are we with the progress? You were in the midst of an answer, so I'm going to let you finish and then I'm going to explain how you're wrong.
Good. I recommend people find J.D. Flynn's Twitter feed. He was covering the bishop's meeting in Baltimore a week or so ago. And there is a divide between some in the USCCB and others in the USCCB about implementing a program of lay oversight. The implementation of a hotline was part of this, and trying to bring that in accord with Pope Francis's directives to involve now the metropolitans investigating these scandals. And some were enthusiastic for this. And at one point, another ordinary said, well, you know, we want to avoid legalism, which is sort of a kind of a clever way of saying we want to be careful about how much we're bound by the law,
yeah,
I guess. And so that was a little troubling to hear. But yes, I think that there has been some genuine progress or well-intentioned progress made, but I am going to declare that the progress is going to be made over the course of a generation, and it is going to depend very heavily on something that Father Hugh talks about here, and that is the formation of seminarians. And when the bishops begin to take this very seriously, where seminary formation becomes much more than the conferring of an academic degree, and some of these guys who are coming to the seminary, you know, they're young men. Perhaps they come from broken homes. They're the same kind of people who live in the regular world, and so they have to detox from porn, or some whatever else it is. They have to learn how to pray. They have to learn how to sit and be quiet. So seminary formation, we probably have too many seminaries, like we have too many institutions of higher education, right?
Yeah.
There's too many colleges and universities. So some of these probably ought to close down. The good ones ought to consolidate. And then if that is the genuine focus of the American bishops, then this thing will fix itself. If it's not, it won't.
Are you satisfied?
Tell me how I'm wrong.
Actually, you're all right. You did okay. You did all right. I suppose my feelings are multiple on this. I do think that is fundamentally correct. I mean, but it's also true to say, if we could restore the reverent celebration of the Eucharist,
this is part of the formation.
Then that would be the thing too.
Agreed. You know,
if we could just get Catholics to believe that God is really present in the Eucharist and that what they are doing is the holiest thing that is possible to be done.
That we are created to worship Him.
Right.
That's why we're created.
And that's good news. It's not bad news. Yep. Worship is not boring. Yep. Worship is the greatest love relationship in the world.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so... So I think you could also say, well, let's be reverential about the Eucharist. If we could restore reverence about the Eucharist, then everything would straighten itself out. And that's true. But the part of the question is how are we going to get there? And I personally, I don't know why I threw the word personally in there. I have come to the belief that the part of the reason that the church is not well governed, and it is not well governed, I am perfectly willing to say that, is that it has become ungovernable. And that the primary way you would restore it to being governable is reduce the size of dioceses to about 20 or 30 parishes in a diocese and no more.
And stop moving bishops around.
That would be part of it. I agree with that as well. But the archbishop, the cardinal of Mexico City, has 10 million Catholics in his diocese.
What does Los Angeles have?
Less, but I just chose Mexico City because it has fewer is what I should have said, not less. But
although at that point, it's hard to count.
Yeah, like let's say it's just a million. This is not a governable situation.
No.
The bishop does not know his people. The people do not know his bishops. The bishop does not know his priests. The priests do not know their bishop. The influence of the community on one another, you know, of a bishop that has a practical impact on the daily lives of his people. That's what Jesus left us.
Job one and of a bishop is to be a father to his priests.
And how can you do that with 10 million Catholics in your archdiocese? And I don't understand why this is not an... I mean, people want to have lay oversight boards. They want to have all these things. It's obvious that the bishops are not doing their job because they can't do their job. It's not possible given the job they have been given. And break it up. That's what I do. We talk about it with the banks. Break them up. Well, do it with dioceses. Break them up.
Total agreement.
Well, this redounds to the whole Catholic philosophy of subsidiarity.
Yeah.
Everything works at a smaller grassroots level.
Push it down.
You want a priest in your parish for 40 years, 45 years. Yeah. You know, Father O'Reilly.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to baptize you. He's going to say oversee your wedding vows. He's going to bury your parents. That kind of solid
What, community and communion? You're saying that's what the church is about?
Well, I'm just agreeing with you using different language.
But yeah, but you're talking
in
terms of time.
Down.
Well, that's also the case with the bishop. If you are made the bishop of, let's say, I don't know, North County, San Diego, maybe there's 20 parishes up there or something. Okay, so you're made the bishop of that place. Now you're the bishop of that place. Live there, die there. You don't go somewhere else.
If
they make you pope, If they call you to Rome because they need you, you know, well, fine. But you don't go from there to Chicago or to Los Angeles. You are the bishop of that place. You know that your people, how are you going to smell like the sheep if you got 10 million sheep? You can't smell like 10 million people. It's not possible. Or that would be a really bad smell if you did, I guess. Chris, go ahead.
I was just going to say that... With respect to bishops, I could see how it'd be very easy to fall into this, but you get a kind of a careerism, or that's a choice assignment, right?
Yeah.
Or I view now getting promoted from Bridgeport to Baltimore or Bridgeport to New York name two cases in recent history in the church that now I'm kind of moving up the ladder. And the same thing happens with priests. There are parishes in a diocese that are regarded as, you know, better assignments than others. Yeah. So it does. Tim's point about subsidiarity is at the heart of this. You know, authority starts in the family with the father, and it grows out from there. And the church needs to recover this sense.
Yeah, I don't think we need to change the structure of the church. I think we need to recover the structure of the church, restore it the way that that Christ himself structured it.
Are you saying the early church was the Catholic Church?
Oh, Tim, there should be a conference called The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. It should be September 26th through 29th here in beautiful,
Wouldn't
sunny San Diego.
Be something?
And you should be able to find out about it by going to CatholicAnswersConference.com. We're shameless.
Those...
That's three times we've done a plug where no plug was called for in this program. We are shameless.
CatholicAnswersConference.com.
CatholicAnswersConference.com. That seems like a good place. I need to take a little break. We'll be right back with more right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
panel show. We've got Chris Check here, president of Catholic Answers. We've got Tim Ryland here, the editor of Catholic Answers magazine. And Tim is not always the public face of Catholic Answers, but
I don't know why. He's very good looking.
He is. But the thing is, he's a beloved figure here. Wouldn't you? That's not too strong a word. He's a beloved figure.
He is.
We love Tim Ryland.
Strong. He is. He has a lot of. He has a lot of institutional.
I'd like to name some of the more public faces of Catholic Answers now, who I think are not as beloved as Tim. All right, I will now make a list of Catholic Answers public figures not as beloved as Tim.
We only have 20 minutes until the next break.
We don't have that many public faces. Go ahead, Tim. You start. Name somebody. No. If you do, man, you are in big trouble.
I'm going to say Willie.
The Willie,
guy who
come
comes
on.
And cleans.
He's very beloved.
He's a great
beloved.
Guy.
Why would you
but he's a low profile guy.
He's a very low profile. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Okay, so the Supreme Court made a ruling. They keep doing this. It's June, so we're going to get a lot of Supreme Court rulings. And I don't think it's actually a blockbuster year. It seems like a lot of kind of second base hits. There's not like a big giant decision looming out there.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people will try to convince you that the census one is some big giant thing. It's the most minor thing in the world. It's nothing compared, to some of the republic changing decisions that have come down in recent years. But okay, so we got this Supreme Court one with the cross on public land over there in Maryland. Maryland, by the way, not named after the Virgin Mary.
No, after the Queen.
After the Queen, William's wife, yeah. Mary. So you can't do that thing that we sometimes do here in California, where they're like, "Oh, we took the cross off the seal of the city of Los Angeles. The entire city is still called Los Angeles," a reference to the Holy Angels,
Sacramento.
But Sacramento. We can't have a cross, but we don't get, there's a little inconsistency there, but okay. So the Supreme Court ruled in what I found utterly unsurprising, 5-4 decision. No, it was a 7-2 decision. That part was surprising. 7-2 decision that a World War I memorial that is in the shape of a cross that is on public land in Maryland can stay on public land in Maryland. You don't have to dig it up and move it somewhere else. You don't have to blow it up, chip it apart, or otherwise dismantle it. That would have shocked me if the Supreme Court had said you had to do any of those things. Or you don't even have to sell the land. The state can have a war memorial from after the First World War that's in the shape of a cross.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a good thing. I'm going to throw a little wrench in there. I don't think it is a good thing because what the Supreme Court said was it's a secular symbol.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's okay. Let me just see if I can sum this up in one word. No. It's not a secular symbol. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason it has any power at all. That ruling is nonsense.
I agree with you, Si.
Agreeing with me does not make good radio.
Well, it's funny because we have a similar story out here in Southern California that our friend Chuck Lemandry, this is one of the longest cases.
I believe it is the longest in the nation.
Yeah, the Mount Soledad cross. And it is currently still standing largely for the same reason, Tim, right? It's regarded as
one of those secular crosses.
It's a veterans memorial.
It is.
It's a veterans memorial. But I think that this is a game that has a bad end.
Yeah. Now, one possibility is that they're kind of going for.
I understand that why they're doing this.
Explain to me why do you think they're doing it?
Why for example, our friend Chuck Lemandry, and by the way, he's a great guy. He's on the show, but he's a practical man, and he is defending the Mount Soledad cross here in any way that he's able to do it. He's an attorney and he's clever.
So you argue what you know will be accepted in order to actually preserve the
precisely.
Cross itself.
But the reason it should stand. Is the reason you say, because it's a reminder of the passion and death of our Lord.
And what would be wrong with the Supreme Court just saying that? That, look, this is a Christian symbol erected at a time when those were the most common thing in the world. We don't have to wipe clean the entire kind of history of the country in order to satisfy some apparently crank who makes a lawsuit. Like at that to me would be the minimum to just say that instead of saying this is a secular symbol.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
We can't go back.
Well, I think it's a good thing that they ruled it this way. And the reason I think that is because it is a Christian symbol, whether or not the court recognizes that, Christians recognize it. And the main reason I think it's a good idea is that it explodes this whole myth that's built up around what separation of church and state actually means.
Oh, all right.
People think that that's what it means, that you can't have a cross on public grounds or that you can't say a prayer before a session of Congress. And that's absolutely contradictory to the founding fathers, which they wanted the separation of church and state to mean, they meant that the state cannot impose any religion on the people.
By the way, the federal government cannot, there can be no national religion.
That's
the words separation of church and state don't appear in any founding document.
No.
They don't appear in the Declaration, which I actually don't even think is a founding document. It was kind of a propaganda track to get the French in on the war. But the Constitution is
he tries to just suck me into these arguments.
Such an iconoclast.
The Constitution is a founding document, and nowhere in there are Thomas Jefferson's phrase that he wrote to a Baptist minister in a piece of correspondence, right?
Right.
So
a Baptist Ministers Association.
Right.
Let's be fair.
Okay, very good. So now the words that Congress will not establish in a national religion are in there, but at the time that Congress was writing that, there were state religions. There was a state religion in Massachusetts,
right,
for example.
Well,
So to say that what the founders even meant by separation of church and state, this is a phrase uttered by or written by Thomas Jefferson in some correspondence. It is nowhere in the founding documents of this country.
Isn't it in the same clause as the right to privacy?
Yeah, that's
emanating from a penumbra. That emanates from one of the penumbras.
Watch what you say on air.
Listen, this country is a bizarre cocktail of enlightenment, kooky ideas from both the English and the French, and some Puritans in New England, some capitalists in Virginia, and some, you know, Presbyterians in the South.
All overwhelmed by an influx of Catholics from all over Europe in the mid-19th century.
Much later. Yeah. But if we're talking about what America looked like at the founding, all right, this is what it looked like. But most of these people thought they were Christians. They thought they were Christians and that Jesus Christ died for their sins, whatever their theological errors were. There was an obvious element of Christianity in this country. There were defects from the start, and we're reaping those bitter fruit right now.
Even now.
The elites weren't necessary. I mean, like a guy like Thomas Jefferson, obviously not a Christian.
No, he was some kind of, you know,
he was a deist.
Philosopher of some sort.
He was a philosoph. Yeah. We have to say philosoph with him.
but on the other hand, he understood farming. He understood subsidiarity. There is a lot of parallel between Aquinas' notions of subsidiarity and Jefferson's ideas.
Agrarian ideas.
Of federalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, break it up. Dissipate the power.
All right, so I'm glad we had a little bit of disagreement. You like this because it emphasizes the fact that a cross is not a religion.
It emphasizes the fact, I think, that the phrase, wherever it came from, the phrase separation of church and state is used in a false way.
Okay,
generally.
Fair enough. I have some more breaking news.
Here's the thing. Nobody is bothered by this. It is, as you say, it is a handful of cranky, noisy people.
Well, see, this is what Justice Thomas said in his concurrence. He said, look, the easy way to deal with this is no one has standing to bring this lawsuit. I could be getting that wrong. I don't want to, but that was my understanding of what I read, was that it's an issue of standing. Why are you suing? There's nothing hurting you. No one's doing anything to you. It's sat there for 94 years without hurting anybody. You have no standing to sue. Move on to the next thing. Yeah. Darren just gave me this from the Babylon Bee. Lot's wife actually died while taking a selfie while fleeing Sodom. So that
she was going to tweet it out.
That's
she didn't
news.
Get that far.
Morris in New Jersey, listening on 98.3 FM. You are on the air with us. What do you got?
Hi,
Morris.
Yes. Hi. How are you, sir?
Very well.
My concern is where the good Catholic bishops, the faithful bishops, that are upholding the church teaching.
How are you, kid?
They're not speaking up about the bishops that have been assigned by Pope Francis, like, for instance, Cardinal Tobin in Newark, and you have Cardinal Kupik, and you have Cardinal Worl, who was removed and yet replaced by, I believe, Bishop Gregory. And all these cardinals are supporting, you know, not upholding the church teaching, particularly on LGBTQ and abortion, and they're not upholding the church teaching. So my concern is, where are the bishops that are upholding the church teachings? Where are they?
All right, I have to just say, I always give the caller their say. I don't get you on the air and cut you off, but I can't certify everything that was just said there. But but it's a fair question. Where are the bishops? If I may phrase it in a slightly different way before the two of you answer it, because this bothers me, and I keep forgetting to say that this bothers me. You read these stories about former Cardinal McCarrick, now Mr. McCarrick, giving envelopes full of cash to other bishops. Could someone just tell me who were these bishops? Like, I feel like if we're going to do what Morris is implying here or stating, that bishops need to be held accountable, so that especially to teaching what the church teaches and living as the church lives. How is it that we have broad knowledge that envelopes of cash are being handed from one bishop to another, and we don't even know who these bishops are? I feel like that is a failing. Like, I feel like after a year, maybe someone should come forward and go, I was one of those bishops. I was wrong, or I was right, or I thought it was for an orphanage or whatever. But it does leave you with a sense, a very unsettled sense. And I share that with Morris in that regard.
So Morris mentioned Cardinal Supich. It was interesting to see about a month ago, I think it was, Bishop Paprocki, maybe a little bit more, of Springfield or where? Peoria? Is there a Diocese of Springfield in Illinois? Anyway, Paprocki, he's either Peoria or Springfield. Anyway, he made the point that there are certain politicians in Illinois who support abortion and should not be presenting themselves for communion.
Yeah, which is basic social, basic teaching of the church.
Yes, but Cardinal Supich responded by saying, well, that's not the practice that we're going to be following here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, I mean, this is a legitimate question being asked here about the ordinary of Chicago. So, but I will say this, there is a growing number, and I'll of course, we have friends, and some of them are on the show from time to time. Archbishop Sample in Oregon is one. Bishop Conley in Lincoln is another. Bishop Wall in Gallup.
What's the one in Stacey Trusenko's?
This is the guy that I want to call people's attention to, because he is becoming increasingly outspoken. And again, if you go back,
his name is escaping
Strickland.
Me. Okay, Bishop.
And if you go back and look and read through some of the insofar as it's available to the public, some of those transcripts from the USCCB, there were people there. There was an ordinary on the floor talking about how climate change is the gravest threat that we are facing. And Strickland said, there are Catholic politicians voting in favor of abortion.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
Yeah.
Right? So there are some, and it's not maybe the majority, but there are some. And it's going to grow.
Well, who was the bishop that got in so much hot water just like a week or two ago about pride parades, saying you don't belong?
The other Tobin, the one up in Rhode Island. Yeah. Said what just any normal person would have said 10 years ago. Yeah. Parents, don't take your children to a gay pride parade.
Right.
Any normal person would have said that. 10 years ago.
You shouldn't be celebrating the sexual revolution in any way. I don't care what it is. You shouldn't be.
Or exposing your children to the sort of antics that go on at these antics is the wrong word.
Yeah, it is.
The public displays of perversion. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
but every major newspaper from New York to Rhode Island, Boston Globe too, just lambasted the man.
Well, I do feel like with someone like Morris, who just called, who I'm just assuming Morris is a layman, there are so many laity who just need to be heard. The fact that they're saying, I'm out here, I'm trying to live the church's teaching, at the very least, the bishops should. And I don't think we should shut them down. I mean, I don't.
I agree.
I'm going to be really honest. I don't follow all the inner church politics stuff. I can't keep track of it. I don't. He named people some of whom I don't know if I even know who they are. Whatever. My point is, Morris's essential point is correct. The laity deserve to know that their bishops are trying as hard as they are to live the teachings of the Catholic Church and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the modern world.
Si, I think it's very important for our listeners to take, insofar as they can, an historical view here. And I'll finish my sentence after the break.
No, you got a few seconds to finish the sentence. You can get all the way to the end of the sentence. Go ahead. Let's see if you can do it.
There have been bad men in authority throughout the history of the Catholic Church. And we should not imagine that our own time is any more immune to this reality than has been any other time in the history of the church.
Chris Check is an authority here at Catholic Answers. He's the president. Also in authority here at Catholic Answers is Tim Ryland, the editor of the magazine. All I'm in charge of is this microphone, so it's not on me. We're going to continue with our panel discussion of the news and the world as it is today from a Catholic perspective right after this.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.